Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. Today it's Tuesday, the 9th of October, and welcome to episode number 5 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, a short report on the Bedford Beer Festival, the second part on our Belgian Beers series, Rant of the Week, quick tastings, and our Try Before You Die section. So, let's get cracking. News. And cider drinkers can rejoice, as Scottish and Newcastle are planning a pear cider. Bulmer's pear clocks in at 4.5% ABV, and will follow the Magnus approach of using pint bottles and being served over ice. It's apparently being trialled in pubs now, ready for general release in November. Hook Norton are also introducing a new beer. 12 Days is reportedly a nutty ale with 5.5 ABV and is a seasonal ale for Christmas. But unlike Christmas, this one is available throughout November and December. And The Crown, in Wales, has put up a plaque to commemorate the filming of Hot Fuzz on the property. The blue plaque is a plaque, and is blue, but it is not a blue plaque in the official sense of the word, since you have to be dead for that, and who wants to wait that long? Drinker's Diary. And there's three more festivals for you this week. Richmond in North Yorkshire is hosting its 6th Ale Festival this month, from Friday the 12th to Sunday the 14th of October. It takes place at the Victorian Market Hall in the shadows of Richmond's medieval castle. Just a reminder though, this is Richmond, North Yorkshire, not Surrey. The Nottingham branch of Canberra is having its Beer and Ciderful Festival shortly, from Thursday the 18th to Sunday the 21st of October. This one boasts over 400 beers, plus ciders and country wines. And finally, the 9th Twickenham Beer and Cider Festival is taking place, from Thursday the 18th to Sunday the 21st. This one boasts 50 cask ales, plus many local microbreweries. This one is being held in Twickenham, which is Richmond, Surrey. Not Richmond, North Yorkshire. So let us begin with a short review of Bedford Beer Festival. This took place last week, and I finally made it along on Saturday morning. The event certainly lived up to the expectation of providing 110 ales and 30 ciders, although, alas, not during the time I was there. The number probably totaled around 50. This is not a particular problem, since there aren't many chances of trying 50 new beers, and certainly not enough hours in the day to try them all either. But it did mean that some of the brews I wanted were not available. This is, alas, one of the problems when attending on Saturday. One of the volunteers mentioned to me that they had 8,000 people there on the Friday night, and drunk them out of many of the better beers. There were new beers going onto the stillage as I was there, but they do take a little time to settle, and it wasn't known whether they'd be back on by the end of the day. Some were and some weren't. The organisation of the event was much the same as other camera events. That is, you rent a glass when you enter, and can either exchange it back for your £2 at the end of the night, or take it home as a memento. I always do the latter, even though I ran out of shelf space for mine after the last one at Earl's Court. My highlight of the festival was actually a cider, from Hex. This was a farm I knew about, having done a tour of Somerset a few years ago, when I discovered their Kingston Black. This later went on to win the Canberra Gold Award for cider in 2006. So, a big thank you to all the volunteers who arranged the festival on behalf of Canberra and put up with our questions and askings for tastings the whole time. Cheers, guys. We now continue with our guide to Belgian beers. This week, Abbey Ales. An Abbey Ale is one that is brewed by people outside of monasteries, but is connected to a church, abbey, or other religious body. This differs from Trappist ales in so much as the monks are not directly involved in the brewing process of abbey beer. Instead, they will license breweries to make beer using their name, although not necessarily their recipes. There are two types of license involved here, because some abbey ales, such as a Fleagham, are currently working abbeys, and others, like St. Foyen, are defunct abbeys. The style of abbey ale is often very similar to that of Trappist ales, which we covered last week, and vary from the doubles and triples to the much darker beers like Rochefort. Unlike Trappist ales, there are hundreds of abbeys, and the most famous being Leffe, which is currently brewed under license by InBev. Other Abbey ales include Grimbergen, Affligem, and Maresu. Grimbergen is brewed by Alken Maize and produce 5 main beers, the rest being their darker beers, notably the Double, the Optimo Bruno, and the Cuvée L'Hermitage. The Affligem Abbey was built in 1074 and is on the border of Brabant and East Flanders. Over its history, the monks have fled and returned many times due to war, but it's now stable and just a short drive from Brussels, where you can sit in the visitor centre and drink beer and eat their cheese. Both are recommended, especially at Christmas time where their seasonal ale is available. They are currently licensed to Heineken. And Maresu is currently brewed by Duvel, the family-owned brewery based in Boudon, Belgium. They do 3 main beers, the Blonde, Triple and Brun, the latter being very good for cabanade, which is a form of stew in Belgium. Rant of the Week. This is what I hope will be a very short and very irregular feature covering the everyday issues I encounter with beer. This week, beer-orientated websites that ask for your age. What a waste of my time. You can't get intoxicated by looking at pictures on the web, and you get beer advertised on the TV anyway. So why should I, when I've explicitly chosen to visit the website, have to click through and enter my age? It's not that it even provides a deterrent, since the website doesn't check you're telling the truth. So anyone can say, 1st of January, 1970, and you're in. It's a waste of time and effort on everybody's part. And besides, some of these websites have been so badly written that anyone over 100 is excluded from entering too. Guys, stop doing it. Kids want a glass of cheap fizzy cider, not a pint of ale. So you're not stopping the problems. It just annoys us, the legitimate users. So how about it, eh? Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Gentz Triple. This is a blonde beer in colour, and one that comes in a goblet glass decorated with red lettering and green leaves around the rim. The head of the beer should engulf this leaf design, which in turn makes it look like a Christmas card. I'll put a link in the show notes. This is a living beer with a second fermentation in the bottle and typical of Ghent. The label shows the 3 towers of Ghent, namely St. Nicholas's Church, the Belfry and St. Bavo's Cathedral. Taste-wise, there's got a wet, bitter taste but with a sharp and fruity aroma. There's also a decent afterkick too. 7 out of 10. Steenbrugger Double Brun. This is a gentle brown, with the real flavour coming in the aftertaste, where it is still genteel, but has a very agreeable and balanced flavour. I've only found this once, and while not a beer I'd go out of my way to find, it's worth trying when you do come across it. It earns a respectable 7 out of 10. Malheur Dark Brut. This is a very strong beer with burnt caramel and disparate flavours with good complexities. It's visually appealing too, with an off-white foamy head and solid brown body. It also emits aromas of dark fruits and the malt on the nose, and it's this spiciness that stands out in the caramel body, which follows through with a good yeasty bite. Perfect for winter. 8 out of 10. Grottenbier from St. Bernardus. Originally created by master brewer Pierre Sellis, this is an aromatic beer with a thin texture but full flavour. It has a second fermentation in the bottle, giving rise to 6.5% alcohol. Apparently, in the Marl pits in Cannes, Belgium, and Valkenburg in the Netherlands, deep underground, you can taste the Grottenbier at a constant temperature of 11 degrees. But even then, the bottled variety is good, and a worthy 8 out of 10. Try before you die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Busch Amber from Du Boisson. Although founded in 1769, the importance of the brewery was established in 1933 when Alfred Du Boisson created a dense brew called simply Busch Beer. This is the Busch Amber that we know today, and is wonderful. The lightness of the colour belies the fact that it is a very strong beer, at 12%, and more flavoursome and more solid than a lot of the darker Trappist ales. It's bittersweet with a strong firmness, and while it's not a lot of complex flavours vying for your attention here, it's more just a good solid taste that stays with you. Bush Amber is also the strongest of the Belgian beers, which at 12% is hardly surprising. There are also four other members of the Bush family. A blonde, brewed first in 1998, which mirrors the quality taste of the amber, but with a lightness and at just 10.5%. Secondly, there's a Christmas beer, the Noel. This is also at 12% and features a caramel malt which gives the beer a red amber colour. The third Bush beer is called The Unexpected, which I've yet to try, although the company lists this as a light ale, despite being 7.5%. Finally, there is the Bush Prestige, and this is essentially a Bush amber, but with a maturing process that takes place in oak barrels instead of the traditional vats for 4 to 6 months. Sugar and yeast are also added and placed in a hot chamber that produces an extra fermentation and raises the alcohol to 13%. These oak barrels introduce extra aromas and tannins into the beer and remind the drinker of whiskey or brandy while retaining that Bush taste. That said, the Prestige is hard to come by, especially out of Belgium, and the Bush Amber is the one you really want to try first. And that's why it wins this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.